Welcome, and thank you so much for joining us. I'm Sandra Ladd, and I'm the senior minister for First Christian Church Stillwater. We are growing a Christ-centered, compassionate church where all can connect to God's love. And we hope that in this time you experience growth. We pray that this time will help you focus and center on Christ, and that in this time you will sense care and compassion. We pray that this time provide you with a deeper connection to the love of God. Grace and peace be with you. And again, we thank you so much for gifting us with your time. Today, the world celebrates love. Happy Valentine's Day. The church celebrates Transfiguration Sunday, and I want to open with a brief introduction to what that is. Transfiguration Sunday comes between the season of Epiphany and the season of Lent, but it is not a standalone Sunday. In the Gospel of Luke, it is central, bridging everything that has happened before with everything that is to come. Transfiguration recognizes the teachings and the ministry of Jesus. It gives us yet another clear picture of who he is and his mission in the world. And it should prepare us for Lent, for the celebration of Easter, and for life in general. God's word has been so lovingly prepared. It really is living and active, and it speaks to us today in ways that are meaningful and relevant. It is actually the best Valentine you'll ever receive. Before we open God's Valentine, let's pray. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. And we ask that you speak to us this day and give us ears to listen. Prepare us this day for the purpose you have for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
About 8 days after Jesus said this, he took Peter, John, and James with him and went up onto a mountain to pray. As he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became as bright as a flash of lightning. Two men, Moses and Elijah, appeared in glorious splendor talking with Jesus. They spoke about his departure, which he was about to bring to fulfillment at Jerusalem. Peter and his companions were very sleepy, but when they became fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men standing with him. As the men were leaving Jesus, Peter said to him, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what he was saying. While he was speaking, a cloud appeared and covered them, and they were afraid as they entered the cloud. A voice came from the cloud saying, "This is my son, whom I have chosen. Listen to him." When the voice had spoken, they found that Jesus was alone. The disciples kept this to themselves and did not tell anyone at that time what they had seen.
About 8 days after Jesus said this, this is interesting because in Mark, the time is recorded as 6 days after. Those are always indicators to me that Scripture is drawing our attention to what matters, and it's obviously not the exact day or time, but what is being said and done in that time. Jesus had been healing and casting out demons, preaching and teaching. At the beginning of chapter 9, he gives the disciples authority to do the same. Now, we're going to see the significance of that later in this story. Jesus had challenged his disciples with the question, "Who do you say I am?" A question that we should all be able to answer also.
who do you say that Jesus is? Peter had answered, Messiah, promised deliverer, leader, sent from God. What scripture tells us is that Peter got that answer right, and yet we'll see that that's not always the case. Understanding that Jesus was the deliverer, a leader sent by God, does not provide complete understanding of how Jesus would deliver or how Jesus would lead. Jesus tells the disciples of what is to come as well as what will be expected of them, which brings us to today's passage. Jesus takes Peter, John, and James up to the mountain to pray. Now, it's important to note the many times Jesus takes time to pray. Last week, we talked about the importance of words. This week reminds us that the most important and powerful words that we speak are those that we offer to God. It's a power tool that we've been given to build our faith. Are you using that power tool? We can't be followers of Jesus and not follow his example to pray often, not only privately, but with and for others. God's glory is revealed in and through Jesus as he prays, and Moses and Elijah show up by his side. Moses represents the law, and Elijah represents the prophets. God's word in Jewish tradition was summed up by the law and the prophets, and Jesus was standing in between the two, representing him as being central. Jesus is the bridge that connects not only the law and the prophets, but connects all to God. Don't miss the words they were speaking of his departure. It's important to note what they were talking about. The word departure literally means exodus. They showed up on the mountain as Jesus was in prayer with his disciples to talk about what was to come, the betrayal, the crucifixion, and the resurrection. Notice also that Peter and the disciples were weighed down with sleep. Climbing the mountain is apparently tiring work, but it's more than that. The whole part of the story just seems so strange until we think about it in its context, and then it's a little more relatable. Sleep here is not referring to what happens when we go to bed at night. It refers to the condition of complacency. Those times that we just go through the motions of life. Wake up, watch the news, check out social media, eat breakfast, brush your teeth, shower and go to work, come home, eat dinner, watch TV, go to bed, and repeat. Those ordinary, everyday moments where we also get glimpses of God's glory if we're awake enough to see. They happen multiple times throughout the day. Sometimes we miss them. We let them slip by unnoticed, or maybe we notice and we just don't take time to recognize it for what it is. Other times, though, we take note. That simple moment that we identify as a God moment. We just know it. God caused that to happen. Can't prove it, but we are absolutely certain it couldn't have happened in any other way. The disciples became aware of God's glory revealed in Jesus, and they are overwhelmed. They don't know how to respond. Peter tries. He realizes they must be there for a reason, that this God experience is happening for a purpose, and he wants to jump in and help. I don't know about you, But I am so guilty of the same. So often I think God needs my help instead of realizing that I need God. And He's there. And He's ready and willing to offer that help. I just need to receive it and not get in the way. There's another truth in this portion of passage. Glimpses of God's glory are brief and fleeting. The disciples weren't supposed to camp out there, and we weren't supposed to camp out there either. We want to. We want to live in those moments of God's glory where God is revealed, but that's not the way that God intended it to work. And we should always trust that God's way is best. And a cloud overshadows them. Maybe it's just me, but does it seem like for this past year we've been living in a cloud? The world has been overshadowed by a cloud, and admit it or not, we've all been a bit afraid at times. Could it be that God is speaking to us from this cloud? Maybe this cloud of COVID, political turmoil, and division provides yet another opportunity for God to speak the very same words to us. This is my son, the chosen. Listen to him. Notice the shift in the disciples. This time they keep silent, and that seems so contrary to what we're supposed to do. I mean, aren't we supposed to share the good news? Yes. But it's important that we share God's good news in the right way, at the right time, with the right people. God's timing matters. We see that evidenced here. It wasn't time. There was more that they needed to experience and understand. God was equipping them to step into their purpose and their calling His way. Consider the same could be true for us here and now. I hope you'll participate in every opportunity that we provide throughout the season of Lent. At least I hope you will participate in ones that work for your time and your schedule. We'll be handing out devotion books during the imposition of ashes at the drive-through Ash Wednesday service, which will happen regardless of cold temperatures. We will distribute in the west parking lot behind the church. You won't even have to get out of your car. Drive up, we'll impose the ashes, say a prayer, give you devotional materials, and send you off with breakfast if you're there between 7 and 9, and with a snack if you're there between 3 and 4. In the second week of the Lenten experience, the leader mentions that he thought that fasting would be the most difficult discipline of Lent. But that's not what he found. Hands down, he found that the hardest discipline for people to practice was silence. I don't doubt that. We learned last week that people speak an average of 16,000 words a day. We also learned the power of those words. Today, we learn that there is also power in taking time to listen, specifically to listen to the words and the teachings of Jesus. You know, very roughly speaking, if you take out the duplicated words as they're repeated across the Gospels, it gets down to 20,000 words spoken by Jesus. That's just a little more than most of us speak in an average day. So doesn't it make sense to give absolute attention to the words spoken by the most significant person in history? The words spoken by the Son of God? You know, Scripture says that heaven and earth will pass away, but God's words will never pass away. Today's passage prepares us to enter the season of Lent committed to actively listening to Jesus with confidence that what we hear will change us forever for the better. Last week, I mentioned that Luke ties together stories to teach us significant truths. Chapter 9 is no exception. Listen to these words now from Luke chapter 9, verses 37 through 43.
On the next day, when they had come down from the mountain, a great crowd met him. Just then, a man from the crowd shouted, "Teacher, I beg you to look at my son. He is my only child." Suddenly, a spirit seizes him, and all at once he shrieks. It convulses him until he foams at the mouth. It mauls him and will scarcely leave him. "I begged your disciples to cast it out, but they could not." Jesus answered, "You faithless and perverse generation, how much longer shall I bear with you? Bring your son here." While he was coming, the demon dashed him and brought him to the ground in convulsions. But Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit and healed the boy and gave him back to his father.
They couldn't stay on the mountain, and neither can we. Mountaintop experiences, they're wonderful, and they're necessary. And I hope that you are occasionally climbing the mountain and experiencing God there. Those are the times when we step out of our normal and ordinary routine with the intention of meeting God. Mission trips, camps, conferences, trips with church friends. There are an infinite list of ways that we can connect with God. Wonderful times. But we don't live there. We have to come back just like the disciples. They come back down and immediately they encounter evil. I'm so struck by Jesus' words, "You faithless and perverse generation, how much longer must I be with you and bear with you?" Gosh, it seems harsh, right? You remember at the beginning of this chapter, Jesus had given the disciples authority over all those things, the ability to cast out demons and bring healing. We have that authority over evil also. We have that ability to heal. So why are we so often overcome? Why are we surrounded by so much sickness? Maybe, just like the disciples, we just don't understand how this works. Maybe we cling so tightly to the way that we envision those things are supposed to happen that we forget that what God promises is that it won't happen sometime in the future. It has happened now. Maybe we completely forget those words that we so often say. We walk by faith and not by sight. You know, I've experienced numerous situations where people who I loved were sick, and the church told them, "You just need more faith. It's not God, it's you. Believe more, trust more. God can and will heal if you only believe." But he didn't. Not in the way they wanted it to happen. And I stand here today because I don't believe God failed. People fail. God doesn't. Healing happened, just not in the way others expected. I don't have evidence that would stand up in a courtroom, but God has given me enough evidence to cling to that hope through glimpses of glory. I get discouraged, and I still don't always understand. In fact, I lack understanding more than I have understanding. But these stories of those who walked side by side with Jesus, seeing the miracles firsthand and yet still not always understanding, give me hope that it's not all about understanding. It's about trust that in spite of my lack of understanding, God is faithful and Jesus saves. And I am so glad that that's on him and not on me. The final portion of scripture today comes from Luke chapter 9, verses 43 through 45.
And all were astounded at the greatness of God, while everyone was amazed at all that he was doing. He said to his disciples, "Let these words sink into your ears. The Son of Man is going to be betrayed in human hands." But they did not understand the saying. Its meaning was concealed from them, so that they could not perceive it. And they were afraid to ask him about this saying.
And everyone was amazed. No, that's what happens when we let God move and we stay out of his way. Did you hear those words? Let these words sink into your ears. We heard it from God and now we hear it from Jesus. And will you? But they didn't understand. It was concealed from them. They couldn't perceive it. Listen, not so that you'll understand. That's not the goal. Listen so that your faith will exceed your need to understand. Our passage today closes with these words, and they were afraid to ask him about this saying. Don't be afraid to ask. Go back to the beginning of today's passage and the power of prayer. Use it. Talk to God, but also take time to listen. Take time to be silent. Learn about every discipline of Lent and practice each one to the very best of your ability. You will not go through the experience unchanged. There will be glimpses of God's glory, and you'll also have to climb right back down the mountain and face evil. But take heart. Evil has been defeated. You have been given authority over all evil as well as the ability to heal. What would it look like for you to raise the level of your expectation to expect that to be so? How will you hear Jesus? What will it take to get yourself to a place where you hear him? Important points to ponder. Amen.